And we'll go into the first session this evening. And let me just say this as I introduce him. Visions evolve, and they evolve as you grow. But the first time we got the concept of having a faith conference, that it came into my heart, and I spoke to the director of Rema Bible Training Center Nigeria at that time, Reverend Matt Beamer. The idea was to bring together Word of Faith teachers who had come out of either the stream of Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland in America, that's Brother Hagin and Brother Copeland, and then to also bring in Nigerian ministers back then who had traveled and had interacted with them and built their ministries based on that. So what we did was we got all the graduates, probably first 2 years of Kenneth Hagin Bible School, the graduates like Reverend Cohen and Darren Hoffman and Reverend Scott Webb. And they all came in, and then we brought in the Nigerian ministers who we knew had gone to Tulsa and sat under the ministry of these men, like Bishop Oyedepo, like Reverend Tunde Joda, like Reverend Amiko Emoshuka, and that. But as the thing evolved, all right, for some reasons, which I can't say here, you wanted to expand it. But at the core, which is the spinal cord of WAFBEC, which is WAFBEC now, is the Word of Faith teaching, because I believe the revelation of that Word of Faith is what puts the tools into the hand of the Christian to be able to change and transform their lives. And so when I met, that's physically met, Pastor Andy Osakwe, who is a graduate of Rema Bible Training Center, he was a perfect fit for it. And that has been, so that people understand, that has been the thinking in bringing him, because I think since 2014, if I'm correct, he has spoken at every single WAFBEC conference. And that's becomes, he comes out of that particular lineage. Now, you may say that this afternoon I discussed certain things. One thing people must know, and I did ask Bishop Keith Butler about it. I said, look, the Word of Faith movement that was with Kenneth Hagin, with Kenneth Copeland under him, became a global force. It became the most powerful movement in the Pentecostal circles on the earth. And I asked him what happened. And when it went into a sharp decline. And he and Reverend McHankins gave me their reasons. But I also believe something. I believe that Kenneth Hagin, when he was holding camp meetings, and Pastor Andy Osakwe can confirm this, did not restrict his invitations to strictly Word of Faith ministers. He called in ministers who even used to cast out devils like Dr. Lester Sumrall. He called in ministers like Rex Humbert, who, I don't know whether Rex Humbert speaks in tongues. He called in ministers, so he broadened the scope. But I'm saying this for a reason. The second generation of every movement in loyalty, always without understanding what that top generation did, now do things in loyalty and trying to be loyal, they ice out everybody. And once you do that, you almost turn it into a cult. Are you following what I'm saying here? And you can start losing your power. All right, so at the back of this, the reason for the expansion of this thing, but we hold on to the spinal cord of it. In other words, I won't pray to God, understand what I'm saying, to invite Pastor Andy Osakwe. Are you understand this? Because I have prayed and God has given me a blueprint. All right? And so long as he's not saying, my new ministry now is in Ecclesiastes, vanity is vanity, all is vanity, all right, he will be on board. Are you following what I'm saying here? So I'm inviting a man here today that represents what WAFBEC is all about. Let's rise to our feet and welcome Dr. Andy Osakwe. Doctor, Pastor, that's a good introduction.
Louder. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Is anybody excited to be in the house of God tonight? Are you really excited? Demonstrate it. Hallelujah. What I thought you were going to do Hallelujah. I want you to, you're going to demonstrate to five people that your power of laughter is superior to their own. Go. Five. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, something the Lord spoke to me about, you know, the Bible says kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. So it is actually righteousness, peace, and ha 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 ha. Does that make sense? And then the Lord showed me that if you don't establish in righteousness, you cannot enjoy peace. And if you don't start to flow in peace, you don't have true joy. So righteousness is the foundation of his throne. And then you are in position for peace and then joy. So those three are equally important. Because until you get to joy, you haven't arrived. I don't care how many scriptures you are quoting. I don't care the power of your prayer. If you have not reached joy, you are suffering. May you not suffer in Jesus' name. Now let the heavens for 1 minute, let them hear your laughter. Get excited. Somebody needs to get excited. Has it been a wonderful week for you? Somebody needs to get excited. Woo, hallelujah. Let the devil get angry. Let the devil get angry. Let the devil get angry. Hey, 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 hey. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just before you sit down, I want to recognize the ministers in the house. I want to recognize Pastor Nathaniel Bassi. And the man is like an angel. Praise the Lord. The Lord has blessed you, my brother. And he will continue to multiply it upon your life. I want to recognize our chairman. I told him that his job is bigger than national PFN chairman. This Lagos here. The principalities in Lagos. Please pray for this man. Clap your hands and celebrate. Also, Pastor Godman Akinlabi. I wish I had a name like yours. Godman. That's powerful. Your father gave you that name, or you gave yourself. I suspect you gave yourself that name. Hallelujah. And all the ministers in the house, God bless you all. Please, let's clap our hands for all the ministers. Pastor Boju is an apostle. I was circling apostle. Apostle Boju. Hallelujah. Don't worry, don't call yourself. We will call you. No problem. He's a great man. Amen. Great vision. Look at what the Lord has done. Amen. I see we have some people from Kenya and Uganda and some other places all around. Wonderful. Amazing. Now, I understand why Pastor Boju waited a long time before he got married. His wife is prophetic. He had to wait and wait and wait. Why did you keep him waiting, my sister? Hallelujah. But the more I look at them, the more I see how such a perfect fit. Pastor Tony, this for Pastor Patrick. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You see, the problem with these time people, the DJs, is they know I've not started my message and they're timing me. Please, somebody help me talk to these people. I'm just introducing the people. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. I don't take it for granted. I think I've been here since 2014 or so. It's been a long time. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. I pray that I will not disappoint you with a new revelation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands. Father, we thank you. We give you glory and praise. We offer ourselves to you. We say, Lord, have your way. We have no other agenda but your own agenda. Lord, flow as you will. Holy Ghost, you know exactly what is needed right now. So we step aside. We say, flow and let it be according to your will. In the name of Jesus, we open our hearts to receive from you all that you have. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. A couple of things that the Lord showed me about what's going to happen to you all this year. So let me wait. I'll do that at the end. But I want to quickly get into the message because of time. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Matthew 6 and 9. Thank you, Lord. It says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. Next verse. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Actually, when it says your kingdom come, it is actually, what he's saying is, your kingdom return. Because his kingdom came under the custody of the first Adam. And the first Adam messed up and handed his authority over to Satan. And so the kingdom was withdrawn. And so when it says your kingdom come, everybody knows when Jesus showed up, Jesus would not have shown up if Adam did not mess up. So he came to recover or restore that which was lost when Adam gave in to Satan. So he's saying your kingdom come back to earth. Let's go back to the scripture. He says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the kingdom must come back first, and then the will of God can be done in heaven. Now give me the Passion Translation for verse 9 and 10. Passion Translation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Passion Translation, verse 9. Matthew 6 and 9. Pray like this. Our Father, dwelling in the heavenly realm, may the glory of your name be the center on which our lives turn. Next verse. Manifest your kingdom realm.
and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth, just as it is in heaven. Notice, he's actually talking about a realm. When he says your kingdom come, it's a realm. Because he's not talking about bringing the planet, a special planet called heaven, and bringing it down to earth. No. But there's a realm that extends from heaven. And that realm is managed primarily by the Holy Ghost. And so right now, heaven's realm is present here. We have the natural realm here, but there's a realm right here with us right now. The glory of God is here. Hallelujah. And this glory here is the same glory as the one in heaven. It has extended right here. Angels are here. Angels belong to heaven, but they're here present because the realm has what? Extended. So when we think like this, we now realize when he says your kingdom come, he's not talking about a religious system. Christianity is actually not a religion. Christianity is God taking residence in us. God lives in me. Every religion, their God is dead. Our own is alive. He once was dead, but now he's alive forever. Must shout hallelujah. It's not a religion. It's when we say the kingdom come, he's talking about an agenda. It's sad that most Christians don't even line up their lives or don't even understand the agenda of God. You know, our cousins on the other side, one thing you cannot fault them for, they have a clear understanding of their own agenda. Am I correct? We are not sure what we're here for. Some of us, we think we're here to build a nice house. Amen? Some of my brothers in the East, you build a house and put 40 rooms. Help me now, help me. How many rooms? Some of those rooms will be taken up by rodents. And you won't even know. Some of you think, how many cars you buy? Hallelujah. So you have a whole list of cars in your garage. For what? That's not the agenda of the kingdom. Say amen. Amen. So it's about an agenda, then it's about the realm. Let me tell you how these two connect. The realm supports the agenda. If you don't have the realm manifesting, you will struggle to propagate the agenda of God's kingdom. Now, let me say it in a very simple way. You know, our cousins, their agenda is domination. Our own is also domination, but not by the sword. Say amen. Amen. We win the hearts of people, and then we transform their minds, and then we release them, empower them by the Holy Ghost, and then they go and cause reformation in the nations. That's how we do it. Amen. But we have spiritual violence that is able to overcome physical violence. Is somebody here with me? And if we learn how to use that violence, even the physical violence has no way to stand against our mighty force. Say amen. Amen. All right, so I want to talk about realm, the realm of the kingdom. If you go with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians 1 and 13. It says, Colossians 1 and 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now give me the Passion Translation. He has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness and has translated us into what? The kingdom realm of his beloved Son. Now give me verse 16. Verse 16. For through the Son, everything was created, both in the heavenly realm and on the earth. Now what's it saying? The realms that we're talking about, right? The realms we're talking about, when we say the first dimension, second, all that, they were created by God. All right, so it says, created both in the heavenly realm and on the earth. All that is seen and unseen, right? Every seat of power, realm of government, principality, authority, it was all created through him and for his purpose. Next verse. He existed before anything was made, and now everything finds completion in him. Amen. All right. So let me do some physics. How many of you passed physics? Don't worry. Don't even. Let's not go there. I want to talk about dimensions, because that's what a realm is. A realm is a dimension of reality and existence. So you have, first of all, zero dimension, zero. That is a point that occupies no space. That's zero dimension. It's hard to imagine a point that occupies no space. Then you have the first dimension, which is you have the line between two points. The line between two points, no height, no width. Hallelujah. The line between two points, no height, no width, just length. Now, this is my best illustration. Can you see this? What is this? Thread. It's not the best example, because this one has width. But just imagine a line between two points with no breadth. Hallelujah. Just a line, all right? That would be the first dimension. Then the second dimension is length and height in a space with no width. Something like this. Can you see this? If there was no width here, we would call it second dimension. I hope I'm not complicating your lives. That laugh is suspicious. You have answered my question, though. But you must hear it. Hallelujah. The third dimension is what? Length, height, and breadth. That's width in a space. So this is three-dimensional. Length, height, and breadth. All right? Some of you have exposed that you failed physics. All right? So length, height, and breadth in a space. Now that's the third dimension. Now, the fourth dimension is spiritual. But here's the problem. We have over-exalted the fourth dimension, forgetting that we're just told that the fourth dimension is a created dimension. That's a spiritual dimension. Do you know that the spiritual dimension is one of the most dangerous places? So when we say fourth dimension, it doesn't mean it's light. It has good and bad and ugly. It has the Holy Ghost. It has the angels of Zion, but it has demons. Actually, that fourth dimension is what the Bible calls the second heaven, which is where you have headquarters of strategic satanic operations. So it's called spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Notice it says heavenly places. So when you hear heavenly places, don't always think it's good. Hello, somebody, help me. No. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So in that realm, there's evil. There's good, but there's evil. In other words, for you to operate in that realm, you have to be equipped with God's word to a certain point, and you have to learn by the Spirit how to navigate. If not, you'll be deceived. You'll be deceived. Somebody will come and look like Jesus, and he will speak the word of God. He will quote scriptures. Don't forget, when Satan came to tempt Jesus, he used the word. So that somebody opened Bible and read Bible doesn't mean it's of God. You answer me now. Hallelujah. So when you come into that realm, you must have discernment. Discernment is not a gift. Discerning of spirits is a gift. Discernment is the ability to discern between good and evil. So you get into a place, you walk into a place, and somebody's preaching, and you discern, this man is not of God. He may say all the right things, but you are disturbed in your spirit, and you just walk away quietly. Say amen. Amen. Lest you be what? Deceived. In these last days, it's no longer just about results. You're going to see all kinds of results. It's now about what? Discernment.
After all, Moses dropped his rod, the two magicians dropped, and they became snake. So you have to learn how to discern which one is, which manifestation is God and which one is not God. Or else you'll be deceived. Say amen. Are we on the same page? Glory to God. So there's a higher dimension than the fourth dimension. And that is the dimension where God lives. I'm going to call it the fifth dimension. Don't ask me where I got it from. I'm just telling you we're going to call it the fifth dimension. Say amen. Amen. So this dimension is where God lives. It's where his throne is. We're going to call it the God dimension. The God dimension. The realm of God. The realm of divinity. The realm of the greater glory. The realm of light and divine life. The realm of divine wisdom. The realm of righteousness, peace, and joy. The realm of God's perfections and excellencies. This is what we're going to call the fifth dimension. And I want to let you know, you are born of God. So you are actually of the fifth dimension. Believe it. Say amen. So this is what I want to talk about. In this fifth dimension, there's no strife. Every time you find strife, you are no longer operating at the fifth dimension. Strife. Watch it. Strife. Strife is actually the manifest presence of demons. That's what it is. And that's why any bad thing can, any evil thing can happen when there's strife. Once you notice strife, kill it. If you can't kill it there, walk away from that place. Because anything's going to happen there. Say amen. In the fifth dimension, there's no strife, there's no fear. When you are in fear, do you know that if an angel comes to visit you and you're afraid, he will draw back. He will tell you, don't fear, no fear, do not fear, do not fear. If you stay in fear, he will go. He can't operate in fear. And God doesn't want to scare you. Amen. In the fifth dimension, there's no death. So we have to learn how to stop talking death. We're so used to conversations of this world that we don't realize times of conversation are times of warfare. Because that's when you drop your guards. That's when devil comes and enters the conversation and gets you to make careless statements. That's it too. That's how all of us will just die. I will not die with you. Hello, somebody. If you want to die, die. But don't bring all of us into death. Conversations. Watch it. Every time you have those friendly, especially relatives or good friends, old friends, be careful. Just talk less. They will try to provoke you to talk more. Is it because you are now a pastor? Is it because you are now born again? Doesn't matter. Let them provoke you. Don't enter that place. Say amen. There's no darkness. There's no shame. There's no shame. There's no confusion. There's no affliction. There's no sickness. There's no weakness. There's no poverty in the realm of God. Amen. Now let me show you something. Go to John 14, verse 1. John 14, verse 1. Watch this. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, also believe. Believe also in me. Next verse. In my Father's house are many what? Mansions. They taught us that this means big, big, big houses. And that's what I thought for a long time. And it can affect your faith. If you're thinking, well, if I don't get a big mansion here, when I get to heaven, I will get my big mansion. Meanwhile, this whole thing is nothing about mansions. Nothing at all. Go back to that scripture. Hallelujah. In my Father's house are many places. That's what it means. Many dwelling places.
dwelling places. His father's house is a big place. Then you have many dwelling places inside this big place. Follow me.
It says, if it were not, if my father's house has many dwelling places. Okay, good. That's the Passion Translation. If it were otherwise, I would tell you plainly, because I go to prepare a place for you to rest. Next verse. Watch this. Now go back to the New King James. Go back to New King James.
And if I go and prepare a place for you.
Now listen to the grammar.
I will come back and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So this place is talking about, he was already there. While he was talking to them, he was there. He said, I'm going to go and prepare so I make it possible for you to come and join me where I am. Question is, where was he?
Hey,
where was he?
You see, we think that Jesus Christ, we think Christ is his last name.
No. Hallelujah. Christ is not his last name. Christ is where he was dwelling. He was the only one in Christ. And he prepared a way for you and me to come into what? Christ.
Hallelujah.
So he has made the way. Now we have come into what? Christ. That's the mansion they're talking about.
Yeah, it's a mansion, sure. Say amen.
So this is how God brought us into the picture. He brought us into the realm by the new birth. Once you are born again, you've entered this realm, this place in Christ. And I'll prove it to you now.
Go with me to Ephesians 6:12. Ephesians 6:12.
For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in where? Heavenly places. So these evil spirits are where? Heavenly places.
Now watch the difference. Go to Ephesians 1 and 3. Ephesians 1 and 3.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in where?
That's the difference. You have heavenly places. Then you have heavenly places in Christ.
Hallelujah.
And the distance is far. Because we're told that heavenly places are far beneath us.
So we're far above. So why do they say far? Because they're talking dimensions. Because it's not just geometrical, it's now dimensions. By the time you get to the heavenly places in Christ, you have left the dimension of the fourth realm. You have entered the fifth dimension.
Say amen. Amen.
So we are above the spirit world. Don't limit yourself to the spirit world. We are to operate from above, not on the same level. They are not our equal. Say amen.
Amen.
Satan is your junior. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Satan is level 4. We're level 5.
And there's a big distance between level 4 and 5. What's the distance? Dimension. There's a dimensional distance between level 5 and level 4. Look at verse 20, where it talks about Jesus being ascended, when he ascended. Verse 20 of the same chapter. Which he walked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Go ahead. Far above. So you have two references to the fifth dimension. Heavenly places in Christ, and then heavenly places far above. That's also a reference to heavenly places in Christ.
When the word heavenly places is used by itself, it's a reference to what? The spirit world, which is not a nice place. Amen. So you're supposed to be seated where? In the heavenly places in Christ, which is a nice place. Tell your neighbor, we have come to a nice place. Ephesians 2:1, quickly. Ephesians 2:1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Next verse. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience. Next verse. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Next verse. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we're dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Next verse. And raised us up together, made us sit together. In where? Heavenly places in Christ. This is not fourth dimension. This is above. We're seated in the God realm. Say amen. Amen. Everything I've said so far is my introduction. Now let me start my message. Hey, yeah, 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 yeah. Praise the Lord. Now let me say this. In this fifth dimension, the highest authority is the Word of God. There's no contradiction that is tolerated. That's why Zechariah's mouth was shut. Because what was about to take place was a fifth dimension miracle. If he had spoken, he would have jeopardized it. But when it came to Mary, once they explained to Mary, what did she say? Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel to me was quite rude. He didn't say bye-bye. As soon as he heard what she said, he just left. He was too excited to say, wow, thank you, ma, thank you. We will see you later. He didn't. He knew he had, this was done. Praise the Lord. Alignment with God's word. Alignment with God's word. This is how you flow in the fifth dimension. Whatever God says, final. My opinions don't matter. Yours don't matter. I don't care. I don't care how you feel. If it's not, listen, at some point, stop feeling bad and line up with God's word. You can cry and cry and cry and cry and become dehydrated. Until the day you decide, you know what, Lord, okay, what is your word to me? Then you can rise. If not, you just cry for nothing. Say amen. Amen. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, let me give you, I'm going to give you two prerequisites for operating in the fifth dimension. I'll give you one today, I'll give you one tomorrow, all right? The first is right consciousness. You have to think right. See, it doesn't matter how many principles you are taught. If you don't learn how to think right, you can't do right if you don't think right. Say amen. Amen. Right consciousness is a consciousness rooted in the realities of the kingdom. And we are to operate with this consciousness in the fifth dimension. For instance, we are to operate with the consciousness of our right nature. The reason why we can move around in the fifth dimension is because we are born of God. We have a nature that the fifth dimension will not reject. That's the nature of God. And that nature is actually the righteousness nature of God. Go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. So he wants to now describe to us what he means by, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. He wants to explain this new. So he goes down to verse 21. Look at verse 21. Verse 21. New King James, verse 21, please. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in him. Can I have somebody to please help me demonstrate something? What's your name? Benjamin. Are you born again? You are sure that you're born again. Hallelujah. You have friends here, it seems. And on this side. All right. Benjamin is born again. You know what that means? It means that he is the righteousness of God in Christ. He is. Not that he has. He is. Somebody say, Benjamin is the righteousness of God in Christ. You know what that means? That means that his identity has changed. What is his identity? Righteousness of God. When the devil comes to meet you, remind him, listen, I am the righteousness of God. He understands it. Many believers don't, but he understands it. It means my nature and God's nature are the same. I am born of God. When you say you're God's righteousness, what you mean is you have the right nature. It also means you have the right position. It also means you have the right capacity. So there's an alignment that takes place once you give your life to Christ. So now, he's not just someone who has righteousness or is trying to be righteous. He is God's own righteousness in Christ. Now here's the problem. We mix up righteousness and right living. You can live right in some areas of your life and not be righteous and not be qualified by God, but you did the right things. But when you have right, when you are God's righteousness and you know that you are, this is what I'm getting to, and you develop the right consciousness, then from that vantage position, you'll find yourself easily living right. No, start living right. Start living right. Benjamin, live right. Benjamin, live right. Benjamin. Benjamin, is that how you live right? Okay. I thought you'd do some guy. Do some guy now.